Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Garrett Biss. Garrett is a Marine Corps a veteran, a TEDx speaker, and he's dedicated to personal growth, happiness, and service. And these values have led him to devote his life to inspiring and guiding others on their journeys. And we'll be discussing his experiences during service, struggles he's faced, and how he turned challenges into growth opportunities, providing a roadmap that hopefully you guys, the listeners, can apply to your own lives. But before we get into all that, welcome to the show, Garrett. I'm glad to have you here.
Scott, thank you so much, man. I'm excited about this. As I just mentioned, I was looking back at my notes when we first started to converse about today. It was back on July 2nd, so many, many weeks ago. So I'm excited the time's finally come.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to, you know, see it all come together and finally get to, chat with you about this. I mentioned in the intro that you are a TEDx speaker. Tell us about your TEDx talk, The Unspoken Trauma All Veterans Face is the title of it. And what are some of the messages that you try to get across in that message?
Yeah, certainly. So the TEDx talk, so it was April this year, I had the opportunity to deliver a TEDx. And it was a beautiful experience to kind of boil down some things that I've learned and really have been impressed upon me over the last 7 or 8 years. It really took me that time to understand what I had gone through and what a lot of other veterans go through, especially around that transition and from military service. And what I learned, both through my own experience and from working with a lot of other veterans, what I've really come to appreciate is that transition from military service itself can be traumatic. You know, it's that loss of some fundamental human needs that we have, or the way that we meet some fundamental human needs, especially the needs for connection, the needs for authenticity or positive self-identity, and the needs for meaning. I know I myself wasn't prepared for that loss in that transition. I had no idea that there were going to be some mental and emotional and even spiritual challenges that came just from that transition. And it really caught me off guard and led me to a pretty dark place, honestly, where I knew that something was missing. I knew that something wasn't going right. I knew that, you know, something felt like it was off about me. And what scared me the most was not really understanding, being able to put a face or a name to the cause of that challenge or that trauma. And, that really, I think, dissolved some sense of hope that I had that anything was going to change or get better. I started to internalize it as though maybe I was so messed up or maybe I was so defective that this was just what my life was going to look and feel like now. And fortunately for me, I had a journey that helped me better understand that, move out of the darkness. And that's really what the TEDx talk was all about, is just sharing my understanding that I know that a lot of veterans, they experience things in the service that can be traumatic, that can lead to post-traumatic stress or even in my case, suicidal ideations. But what I really got in touch with was that every veteran goes through a transition from that veteran service, that military service, to a life as a veteran. And that, regardless of what they experience while they're in the military, that transition itself can lead and does lead a lot of veterans to a really dark place.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, and I like the way you phrased it that it's a loss that we experience, similar to other types of losses that we might be grieving, maybe not to the same extent of the death of a loved one or something like that, but it still is a loss that we end up grieving that loss, but I think sometimes we don't recognize it as a loss. Right. It's a loss of identity or purpose or the camaraderie and the mission that we had in the service. We lose that piece of us, and we have to figure out how to grieve it and work through it appropriately. Not necessarily in the same way that you would grieve the loss of a loved one or, a divorce or something along those lines. But there are still things that we have to recognize we're no longer that. But that's not our whole identity. That might be a piece of who we were, and it's an important piece for sure. But it's not everything. Right.
And from our perspective, that identity that we have, it's all wrapped up in that role that we play in the military. And I think one of the challenges, yeah, certainly there is a grieving, I believe, that takes place there. And I think one of the things that complicates that the most is the fact that we're not prepared for that. If you lose a loved one, you know that there's going to be an emotional grieving process. You know that there's going to be pain that to expect. If you separate, you know, if you have a, go through a divorce or end a romantic relationship or an intimate relationship, you know that there's going to be a sense of loss. And it almost makes a little bit more sense. Just like if you or I were to go for a really hard workout or a long run, and we would know, okay, probably for the next couple of days, I might be a little bit sore.
Right.
It's not going to catch us off guard. But when you go through and you experience that loss and you experience that grieving, that sense of grieving and that emotional pain, and you're caught off guard, I think that's what the biggest challenge is. And that's what it really kind of shook me the most, because it wasn't something I was expecting. You know, there was no slide in my TRS or my TAP class saying like, hey, these are the emotional and mental health challenges that you're going to face. And most importantly, this is why. And not knowing why it's something that's very, can take away that sense of hope that things can get better.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if you don't know why do I feel this way? And you kind of feel lost and you're stranded. You're almost alone at that point, right? You went through your whole military career where you had battle buddies who were with you, who you worked through problems together. And, maybe not necessarily mental and emotional type problems, although some of those things could have been what you did, but you had a team that you relied on and you were there with those people. But then you get out and you're on your own. I mean, you figure out your job or right. school or, you know, whatever the next steps are for you, that's on you. You got to figure all that stuff out. You know,
right.
Nobody's going to tell you when to wake up, what uniform to wear, what, when chow is, or they're not telling you any of that. You figure it out.
Sure.
And that's a lot for someone who maybe 18 years old, just started their adult life in the military. And then all of a sudden now they're on their own.
And think about that from a maturing perspective, or just kind of our individual growth perspective. Yes, if you're 17, 18, 19, even 22 years old, as males, our prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed until we're 25, 26 years old. Women, I think, is a little bit sooner, but still your entire understanding, your entire identity, your entire understanding, your values, your beliefs, everything that you understand about the world and about your place in it is all developed in the context of me being in this uniform, me being a service member of that mission that I have. And then we look at the foundation for our mental well-being, our ability to thrive, that comes from our sense of connection to other people. It comes from that brotherhood or that sisterhood, those bonds that we develop. You know, we're really hardwired for connection, and it's through our connection to others that it helps us not only process and deal with negative emotions. You know, when we connect with somebody, it releases that oxytocin that helps us deal with some of the stresses and helps us feel okay even in a stressful or challenging environment. And with that uniform also brings a very strong sense of meaning. And what I've come to understand is that our sense of meaning, not only does it provide joy and direction and some fulfillment in our life, but meaning is our ability or our capacity to endure hard and challenging times. So if you have a strong sense of meaning, you're able to lean into that suffering or lean into that sacrifice because you know it matters so much, because there's such a strong sense of meaning to it. You take away that connection, you take away that sense of meaning, you've lost that foundation that you've developed, the ways that you've learned and adapted to meet your basic human needs. You lose that in an instance, and it leaves a lot of veterans, unfortunately, kind of floundering, trying to replace that void, replace that, whatever they lost. Some leaning into a new career, maybe that's really not ideal for them. Maybe, you know, it's just chasing a paycheck so they can fill, deal with some financial concerns. For others, unfortunately, they go into, you know, some addictive substances or addictive behaviors as their coping mechanism to deal with that void or deal with that pain that they're now experiencing.
So those are a lot of, let's just call them unhealthy ways to deal with some of this stuff. What are some of the more positive ways, healthier ways to deal with this transition and maybe some of the other traumas? I don't know if there's anything else that that we didn't mention here that you talk about that you could talk about. As far as I always like to get to down to the what do we do about it? You know,
right.
I think maybe typical guy kind of thing. I want to fix these problems. I want to make sure that we don't have to keep dealing with them.
Yeah.
So how do we get through those?
I think first and foremost, and just while I was so appreciative and excited about the TEDx talk, first and foremost is just an understanding, just putting a face to some challenges that we might experience. And so the mission with the TEDx, which is unspokentrauma.vet, for anybody that's interested, they want to watch the TEDx, you can just go to unspokentrauma.vet and watch that. But that's my intention with that was to help prepare individuals either before that transition or after that transition to put a face and a name to the challenges that they're experiencing. I was doing a presentation a couple of weeks ago and there was a Vietnam veteran in the audience and he says, man, I've been suffering with something that I couldn't really identify or put a real explanation or a face to it since I left Vietnam. And there's been this void inside that I just didn't really get. And it wasn't until hearing this message about that loss of connection, authenticity, and meaning that he really began to understand and contextualize or be able to appreciate what the catalyst was for that hard and that challenging time. So the solution to that, I think, and through a lot of the work that I do, you know, personally, my journey and a lot of the work I do now with veterans, for one, understanding what the challenge is. Just like I said, if we were to go for a hard workout, we understand like, okay, now our body and our muscles are rebuilding and there's going to be some soreness as our body repairs. So having an understanding of what the catalyst is, it was the hard workout. It was the hard run. For the emotional and mental health challenges, that transition, that loss of fundamental human needs or the way that we've been meeting those fundamental human needs, that's the thing that's creating the pain or the challenging time. Focusing on and getting reconnected. So that loss of connection, that loss of authenticity, which is the third thing that I mentioned in the TEDx talk, but that loss of connection and authenticity. So any things that we can do to get reconnected with ourselves, to get reconnected with the good parts of us. As we're floundering, trying to find our way now as a veteran, trying to find our new tribe in the civilian world, it comes with a lot of challenges. For one, if we lost a sense of positive identity because we've taken off that uniform, maybe we don't understand or fully appreciate the value that we have either to our, you know, to the community at large or to our workplace, to those people that are now part of our tribe. Maybe we don't really fully appreciate or understand that value. And as we try to adapt to this new environment, I mean, you and I both know, and any veteran will attest to the fact that veterans, military service members were cut from a little bit different cloth than most. And especially through those experiences. So we can't, you know, when we come out and we try to integrate with or try to connect with some civilians, there's a lot of challenges there. You know, for one, they don't love our sense of humor most of the time, or it makes them really off put, or just that level of intensity that's really been ingrained in us, that seeing everything as, you know, potentially through the lens of life or death, or the problem solving orientation of everything that we face. Like, okay, here's an issue. How do we fix it? How do we get on with the mission? So a lot of that kind of can challenge our ability to make new connections. And unfortunately, a result of that often is we begin to understand or find how we should show up, not showing up as ourselves, not showing up authentically as we are, but how should I show up? What's this version of myself that I should present so that I'm good enough for and acceptable and validated by those people that I'm around? And again, that could be with our new friends, that could be with our coworkers, that could be, you know, in organizations that we're part of in the community. And that's really what starts to accelerate that downward spiral, I believe. Because if we, anytime we're showing up inauthentically as a version of ourselves, or we're hiding a part of ourselves behind a mask, we're also delivering a message to us that there's something wrong with me. So whether we're consciously thinking about it or not, if I have to show up as a version of myself in order to be accepted, then the message that we're feeling or receiving from that is that I'm somehow defective. I'm somehow not good enough as I am. And therefore I need to, there's something about me that's not okay. And that's not a good place to feel. That's not something that lifts up our sense of self-worth and our sense of confidence. The other challenge with that is anytime we show up hidden behind a mask in order to receive a sense of connection or in order to be acknowledged and validated by somebody, when we get that connection, when we get that validation, they're not connecting with us. They're connecting with that mask that we wear. So instead of getting a sense of connection, instead of having that the nurturing aspects of and the healthy mental health and, you know, emotional aspects of or benefits from connection, we don't get that. We might get connection, but it's connection, you know, with an asterisk would be one way to think of it. It's connection. But if they find out what I really think or who I really am, then maybe they're going to think something differently about me. And that's true for veterans, that's true for anybody who's finding themselves in a new environment or a new place and feels like they have to show up as a version of themselves. a lot of the individuals I work with, they might have had a traumatic experience during the military, or maybe they had childhood trauma, something that happened that created this situation or this created this reality where they feel like they have to hide something. They're too embarrassed. They don't want to share something that they experienced, something they've been through, some actions that they themselves have taken in the past. They don't want to share a part of that, so they feel they need to hide it. And when we feel we need to hide a part of ourselves, then it alleviates, or it really detracts from that sense of connection that we can benefit from.
You know, you mentioned a lot of stuff there, and there's a lot to unpack, and it's all, I think, all great information. But one of the earlier things that you said in that reply, that the response there, is reconnecting with ourselves. And that was something that I don't know that I ever thought of it that way, but it's a great way to think of it, because before anyone gets into the military, we were all civilians at one point. We had, you know, we went to high school, we had played sports, we might have had a job, we might have done all these different things that quote unquote normal people do, right?
Right.
And then we went off and did something crazy like joining the military. And we kind of molded into this new form of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But there's still a piece of old me still in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's still those things that I used to do, the stuff that I enjoyed, the stuff that maybe I couldn't do necessarily because I didn't have the time while I was serving or whatever. And some of those things I might want to get back into and just kind of reconnect with who I am. And maybe some of that stuff may have changed, and that's fine because we evolve and we change over time. But reconnecting and trying to figure out who am I now, with all those new experiences, I'm a different person for sure. But who am I now, and what takeaways from that? How do I figure out what do I do with that information, right? But then you also mentioned dealing with civilians. Not feeling like you can't connect with those people. But I think partially, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but if we are able to reconnect with ourselves and re-identify like what makes me, that type of thing, we might be able to find those civilians out there in the world that maybe do connect with who you are, right? And you don't have to go and hide who you are and, try to have a different persona around a different group of people. Like the amount of mental energy that would be required to do that with the varying groups of people that you might be around. Maybe you're going back to school to get a degree or something like that, and you have your school friends, but you're also working a job, and then you have your work friends, and then you have people in your neighborhood or whatever, and they have those people, and you have different personas for all those people trying to fit in with those different groups. The amount of mental energy required for that would be enormous, and quite frankly, I wouldn't want any part of that, But being yourself, going back to reconnecting with ourselves and figuring out who we are. Look, some people you're not going to be for everybody, right? You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Right. That's okay. Just deal with it. If they don't like you, they don't like you. And okay, well, go find the people who do like you and work with those people, right? And I think that's kind of where you're getting to with all of that. And I like the thoughts there with what you were saying.
Yeah, certainly. And I think what leads to that is when we lose that sense of connection. I mean, connection, we can't overstate how important a sense of connection is. I was reading in the Journal of Lifestyle Medicine that a lack of proper social connection has the same adverse effects on our health as smoking 15 cigarettes or drinking more than 6 alcoholic beverages a day. So it's not like a nice to have. It's not something that makes our life a little bit better. It's a real fundamental human need. We need that connection to emotionally regulate, to be able to deal with the challenges that come up in life. So what I find is when we lose that sense of connection, especially when we're not prepared for it, we lose a feeling inside of it. It's a visceral feeling inside of it, that loss. So no matter what we're thinking about or how we're processing it mentally, we feel it in our body. It creates a void inside. And I think that puts a lot of people to this survival place. Now we're trying to fight or flight, trying to find, I have a basic need that's not being met. how do I find that need? And that can make us floundering and going out, trying to regain that sense of connection. If we even recognize that it's a loss of connection that's creating that internal void, we'll go out and we'll flounder and we'll just do anything we can to try to fit in. And we'll search everywhere. Do I fit in here? Do I fit in here? How do people want me to show up? Okay, I'm going to show up as this version of myself the whole time. Maybe finding new friends, maybe making new contacts, but not filling that void inside. So I think with a little bit of awareness, and we can be empowered to better understand that, make healthier decisions, not do it from a fight or flight state or a triggered state, but do it from a more empowered state so that we can lean into it and foster those connections in a certain way. And I love your point. You know, we've been a civilian before, now we're in the civilian world. However, once we've experienced that military service, we'll never be a civilian again. And I love this. A friend reminded me of this. That's why the whole term veteran exists. And that's why we are veterans, because we're not civilians. You know, we might live and breathe and survive and work in the civilian world, but there's something that's different about us. And there's something mm-hmm. different about who we are now than who we are before we entered the military.
Right. And I think my point about, you know, the fact that we all were civilians at one point is that we know how civilians are. Like we know like what it's like to be a civilian. It's not like you're leaving the military and all of a sudden I'm throwing you into an operating room and now all of a sudden, hey, you're a surgeon, go figure it out. You know,
right.
It's not something you'd ever done before, so that wouldn't be a rational thing to throw you into the deep end and make you try to figure that type of thing out.
Yeah, certainly.
You had been a civilian, and now you're not you're a veteran, right? But you're living in the civilian world. You're doing civilian things. You're getting a civilian job, but you know, potentially and doing normal civilian world type stuff, just with that label of a veteran too.
Yeah.
So, and I think that some of that
caught me off guard a little bit as well, because to me, I was thinking like exactly to your point, I've been a civilian before. Now I'll be a civilian again or living in the civilian world again. And it kind of caught me off guard a little bit because the transition wasn't as smooth as what I would have thought if I'm just going back to, doing something I've done before. Mm-hmm. And that was the other challenge. I mean, I lived outside the military base, so I was living in a civilian community, shopping at the civilian grocery stores, going to civilian restaurants. However, when I took off that uniform and I lost that identity of the service, it didn't feel as normal or as comfortable just being a part of that civilian world. So that kind of caught me off guard. And to your analogy, if you were to throw me into an operating room, I would very quickly recognize that I'd never been there before. It'd be obvious to me. So maybe and I think that's a little bit of what compounded the challenge for me was it wasn't so obvious to me that it was going to be challenging to kind of reintegrate. Because to your point, I mean, in my mind, I was like, what do you do? Like, I'm still living in the same house. I'm still driving the same car. I'm still going to the same stores. But now that felt different, felt a lot different.
It does. And it's hard when you don't recognize that it's going to be mm-hmm. an issue, right? And so I think for the listeners, if you are still in the military, just know it, recognize, hey, it's probably going to be tough, to do that. And that way, similar to the example that you gave earlier, where you're talking about, the loss of a loved one, well, that's going to be hard and that's understandable. And so you can act appropriately in those situations. Of course, you're going to be sad. Yeah. You're going to grieve and all that type of stuff in that situation. Now just recognize, hey, leaving the military, it's going to be difficult, even if you're ecstatic about getting out because you hate it and you don't want to be in the military anymore. And you're right. One of those guys who just, I'm looking forward to that date that I get my DD214 and I'm out of here and, forget you losers and I'm out, that type of thing. It's still going to be, there's still going to be a change. There's something different that's going to happen there. And so just, be aware of it.
I think be mindful of it and having a little bit better of an understanding. For me and a lot of veterans I talked to, like I lost the connection to the active duty people I was serving with, rightfully so. I mean, they got a mission they got to continue to work towards. And I was very hesitant to get connected with the veteran community. Cause in my mind as a young service member, I was like, oh, veterans, they're the 60, 70 year olds that just sit around the VFW and drink and talk about their times in war. And I was like, I'm not there yet. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I didn't recognize there's a lot of other post 9/11 veterans. There's a lot of other younger veterans that are out there doing things. And I think fortunately through social media, I think that's becoming broadcast a little bit more. And there's a lot of younger veterans that are doing some things, still staying active. Yeah, I wish I'd have got connected with the veteran community a little bit sooner than what I did. I think that would have helped at least just give me the opportunity to have some conversations that my civilian counterparts or friends wouldn't understand to the same mm-hmm. degree. You know, you can say a lot to a veteran without saying anything at all, because, and still feel seen and heard and understood. So that's a beautiful thing. And certainly something I encourage, you know, the, when you get that DD-214, all right, give yourself a week or two, but then go find some other veterans who recently got out and at least just maintain some kind of connection or social contact with them.
And the cool thing is that I don't care what branch of service somebody was in, you know, you're in the Marine Corps, I was in the Army, you know, other people I've talked to from different branches. One thing that I've noticed is that we can find that common bond rather quickly. I mean, I do this quite often. This is the 400 and something episode that I did, you know, on this show. So I've talked to hundreds of veterans.
Yeah.
And sometimes the very first time I talk to these veterans is just like we're talking right now, is on the interview. And by the end of the interview, we're talking like we've known each other forever, you know?
Right.
And so maybe that initial icebreaker moment might be a little awkward, but once you start to get into it, you're gonna find that you can have those conversations the same way you did with some of your buddies that you served with.
Right.
You know, and yeah, sure, you're gonna have take a little time to gain some trust and all that kind of stuff, but you're gonna start to recognize some of the same vernacular and some of the same things, you know, the way they carry themselves and stuff like that, and you're gonna just become more comfortable. You know, I'm pretty introverted, like in my day-to-day life, but yet I host a podcast where I'm talking to people all the time, and I can do that because I can easily relate with the people that I'm talking to, you know, I think that's you know, just a little bit of encouragement for people who are like, I don't want to be that guy at the VFW, like the 67 year old guy drinking beer and talking about their old war stories. Well, you don't have to be that guy. You don't have to, you know, be a 67 year old guy. You can be, you know, 20, 30, 40 year old guy and still go to these places and still have connections with the older guys and some of the younger folks too. And still be able to, make some connections that way.
Right.
Now I know you also have, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but the Valiant Path program. Tell us about what that is and kind of how it helps veterans out.
Yeah, certainly. So, and this kind of answers your question, all right, so what do we do about it? So the Valiant Path, it was really designed for veterans that have struggled with addiction or any other kind of mental health challenges, and they haven't found the right tools or the right pathway to kind of get to a better place. So the Valiant Path is designed, it's really infused by applied positive psychology, and it's from a coaching perspective. So what that means to me, or what I understand, is you know, there's clinical and there's non-clinical support that we can get for our mental health or our personal health or our personal growth rather. And from what I understand, a clinician's role is, and this is, you know, this is a very broad brush, but in general, a clinician's role is to help you identify what's wrong with you or what's going wrong with you, help you identify some of the symptoms of things, and then help you come up with plans or medications in some cases to help mitigate some of the negative effects of these defects or these problems with you. The other end of the spectrum, the non-clinical realm, or where I focus on with coaching, is helping you identify and tap into what's right with you. So yes, we've all made mistakes. We all have problems. We all have defects, but we all also have some innate strengths and some innate, you know, some good things going for us. So how do we tap into those things so we can get to a better place? I love the analogy of think of a hot air balloon. You know, you have a hot air balloon, you have the hot air in the balloon trying to pull you up, and you have the sandbags or the tether trying to pull you down. So from a clinical perspective, and this is through my personal experience, what I understand is that they're helping me try to identify those sandbags and snip those sandbags away so that I can get to a better place in my life. From a coaching perspective, I'm helping you identify what's filling up your balloon and how can we lean into that and help that balloon, you know, fill up with more hot air or more uplifting power or pressure so that you can get to a better place in your life. In that, they can work very well together. You know, you can attack the issues or the challenges or fill the voids from multiple fronts. But for anybody that's experienced or had some clinical help, whether it's therapists, counselors, psychologists, what have you, and you haven't, and you feel like there's still something missing or it's not getting there, or maybe you dealt with a major problem and now you're, you know, now you're, you've cut away some of the sandbags, but you're still not progressing the way that you want or getting to that better place that you want. And there's some other tools and there's some other processes out there. So applied positive psychology is really the science of human flourishing. It looks at what helps humans flourish and how do we leverage those things to improve our life or to get to a place where we're really thriving or flourishing. And that's the journey with the Valiant Path. We invite in and we build a stronger foundation of all the good stuff in your life so you can get to a better place. One of the first things that we do, and I'll have people I'm working with do or recommend for anybody to do, honestly, is to start by making a list of wins and successes that you've had in your life. Seems like a very simple exercise, but when you try to put pen to paper, it can be very challenging. And the reason for that is our minds, our body is hardwired. Our thoughts are hardwired, I believe, for self-preservation. And self-preservation means identifying mistakes and things that we've messed up in the past and trying not to repeat those mistakes. Because you know, if we've hurt somebody, if we've fallen down, or if we've failed at something in the past, that could be a threat to our well-being in the future. So in our mind's attempt at self-preservation, it can make those things very readily apparent and top of mind for us. You know, it's another tab open on our web browser as we're trying to go through and navigate life. The challenge with that is if all you're thinking about is the weaknesses that you have or the things that you wish you were better at, for one, that doesn't make you feel great about yourself. And for two, just the mistakes or the things that, you know, the defects that you have or the limitations that you have, those aren't tools that you can use to navigate the next obstacle or challenge that your life's going to present or to face. So if we can list 100 wins or successes that we've had in our life, you know, starting very small, going back as far as you need to, you learn how to crawl, you learn how to walk, you learn how to talk, you learn how to run, you learn how to ride a bike, you pass first grade, you pass third grade. If we can start to build this list and identify at least 100 things, that's just a place to start. But it's reminding us of all the wins that we've had in the past, a time in our life where we weren't able to do something or where there was a challenge in front of us and we successfully navigated that and got to the other side. If we can be intentional about it and remind ourselves of it, then it begins to shift our mindset and give us some ammunition or give us something that we can use to make progress in our life. So this is also a part of connecting with the good parts of us, connecting with the things in us that do have value, that do bring that sense or that fuel that sense of confidence and help us with that reminder of our own value and our own worth, helps us lean into the next challenge so that we can overcome it and we can continue to grow or continue to make an impact. So I think that's a very good and very important place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, honestly, as you were talking, you said, you know, if we can come up with at least 100 things that we could put on this list. And my mind just kind of froze right there. I was like, 100 things that we got to come up with on this list. But then I thought back to what you were saying before that, just immediately before that, is how our brain works towards self-preservation and, you know, highlighting the negatives and the things that you might have screwed up or things that didn't go quite according to plan so that you don't do those things again and you increase your chances of survival, right? But the good things that you do also increase your chances of survival. And so, yeah, we should definitely highlight those things. And I understand that, you know, just we're hardwired to not focus on those things as much because, well, it went right. So why do we have to worry about it? Right. But if you do focus on those things, then, you know, you start to think a little bit more highly of yourself and you start to have a little better impression of what you're capable of accomplishing. Right. And so I think that's, it may be a difficult exercise for some people to do. I think for myself, it would probably be difficult to do as well, but probably a worthwhile exercise for sure, because it flexes that muscle a little bit and allows you to celebrate some of the positive things that you might have accomplished.
Right.
You know, graduating high school, graduating basic training, going, getting that promotion or, you know, whatever it is. Like those are things that happen. They're good things. And why not highlight those things? You clearly deserved whatever it was, whatever the accolade was or the promotion or the whatever that good thing that came along with it, you deserved it. You earned it. It wasn't like it's not like the Marine Corps just hands out promotions to just anyone, right? Like
sometimes it seems like it, but yes, correct.
Sometimes it does seem like it. But really there's usually a process in there, right?
Yeah,
there's
so
absolutely, you know, but for the most part, those are things that you can celebrate, right?
Right. Because we're all going to face future challenges. And sometimes, you know, we're looking at something and it's like, man, how am I ever going to do that? Or maybe we start to doubt whether or not we can achieve that. So if we go back and look like, hey, there was a time where I couldn't ride a bike and then I learned how to ride a bike. There was a time I was a pilot in the Marine Corps. There was a time I couldn't fly a plane and then I was able to fly a plane. So it's a reminder. Oh yeah, there was a challenge that I faced before and I overcame it and I grew and I gained the new skill. And sometimes that can just help us with our mindset and provide us that, you know, that emotional ammunition to lean into some of the challenges that we're facing now. And, you know, your response to that is the same response I get pretty much from everybody when I say, all right, we're going to sit down and make a list of 100 wins. Their minds are like, you know, it's like deer in the headlights. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm only 30. I haven't had, or 40. I haven't had 100 wins in my life. It's like, okay, well, that's an indicator to me. That's a litmus test of where your mind is. And so if you are struggling, if you do feel a dissolved sense of self-worth, if you are struggling with negative self-talk, okay, well, here's an indicator maybe as to why. So with intention, we can come up with that list. And once you get past, you know, 10 or 12 things, then usually the creativity and the excitement kicks in and it's quite easy to kind of come up with a list. And then it's not a one-time thing. I also encourage people to go back and review that list. I have one sitting right next to me that I, you know, the one I've done recently, and it's a reminder for me so that I have something in my periphery that I can look at and glance at and remind myself. It's not a, you know, it's not a means to kind of boast and to, you know, inflate my ego, but it's to help remind me that, hey, there's challenges I've overcome in the past and, you know, and I've learned things and I've grown and I've gained new skills. So maybe I can do that again. And it really helps reframe that, you know, that mindset as you're trying to lean into new challenges that you face.
Yeah. And that list isn't necessarily like a diploma or, you know, a degree that you might hang on the wall. You know, sometimes you go in the doctor's offices and they have all those other degrees hanging on the wall and stuff. And that's the things that, well, I mean, quite frankly, it was a lot of work. Those are accomplishments I should be proud of. Put those things on the wall, you know?
Right.
But, you know, learning how to tie your shoes when you were, you know, however years old, like that, you maybe not putting that on the wall, but
give yourself credit
to your
for
point
it certainly.
Earlier. Yeah, you give yourself credit. And to your point, after you get those first 10 or 12 or so items on that list, it feels like it would give you permission to give yourself permission to start celebrating some of those things.
And certainly.
It may feel awkward and uncomfortable at first, but I like that idea.
And I say go small, go granular. I mean, think about it. If you made a silly mistake, if you misspoke yesterday, if you said something that, you know, maybe you hurt somebody's feelings or maybe you were misunderstood, really small in the grand scheme of life, but you'll carry that with you. I mean, you'll think about that and you'll ruminate on that. And if we're going to give ourselves a hard time for something so small, then why can't we celebrate something so small? So, you know, I got an A on a spelling test in second grade. Like, why can't I recognize that and give myself the due credit for that win or that accomplishment.
Yeah. And I think really the whole objective of this is just that mindset shift to allow you to start recognizing those positive things in life that occur, that you earn, that you put in the blood, sweat, and tears to do that hard thing. You start a business, you do whatever it is, those big things in life. But you got to start somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And so starting small with those little things, just like if you were to not exercise at all for the next 20 years, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know what, I'm out of shape and I need to get back in shape. And you start going to the gym. Well, you're not going to start lifting weights like you're 20, if you're 50 years old and not working out for, you know, however long, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to start small and then work your way up, and you may never get back to that 20-year-old self as far as working out in the gym, but you start small and you work your way
up. You build that muscle
to
back.
The bigger
That's
and better
right.
things exactly right. And so starting with those small wins, like you said, it's easier to start with those small wins, and then you kind of give yourself permission to grow a little bit and get bigger and better things involved in that, and it's all about changing that mindset. So you're not focused so much on the negatives. I like it. I like it.
And also, again, bringing this down to the granular, bringing this into our day to day. I mean, if we're going to lay in bed at night and wish that we would have gotten up earlier or gotten two more tasks done before we left the office, or maybe we regret the fact that we had that dessert after dinner. if we're going to give ourselves a hard time, then why can't we give ourselves credit for the good things that we've done? So, you know, all right, I slept in a little bit late, but I still made it to the gym, or I still got a couple of things done, or, I still drank water, whatever those positive things are, those uplifting things, let's give ourselves some recognition for that as well. So we don't, especially at nighttime, especially before we go to bed, if all we're thinking about is the negative things, that's going to replay that tape the whole time that we're asleep. So that's another exercise that I really encourage. And something I don't know if I mentioned this, but I want to offer to all your listeners. I have something that they can do. It's called The Warrior Reset. And what this is it's four exercises or daily practices that you can do. You can do all four of them in less than 15 minutes, because it's the most efficacious and most powerful things that I've found to help create a shift. So if anybody feels stuck, if you feel like something's missing, you're not the best version of yourself, you need a little bit of a refinement, Warrior Reset can be a fantastic way to do that. One of the exercises in there is called a mirror exercise. And that's exactly what it asks you to do. Just give yourself 30 seconds face to face in the mirror before you go to bed, and just give yourself some recognition for the good things that you've done. Excuse me, the good things that you've done. Because then you're going to remind yourself of the value that you have. You're going to remind yourself of the things that you followed through on. At least give yourself a 30-second reprieve from beating yourself up for the things that you wish you would have done differently, so that you can go to bed and that tape will replay in your mind for those hours that you're asleep. And then you're going to, in a very short order period of time, I encourage everybody to do the Warrior Reset for at least 10 days. In a very short order of time, you'll begin to see and feel your mindset start to shift a little bit. Your sense of confidence start to shift a little bit. Your feelings of self-worth start to shift a little bit. And it's just those small fine-tune adjustments that can make a huge impact in our life.
Yeah, absolutely. And those 30 seconds, like you said, that is a small amount of time. Might feel silly at first, especially if you haven't done this type of thing before. But as you're doing that, like you said, that becomes the tape that replays in your mind as you're sleeping for the next however many hours. And that's a heck of a lot better thing to wake up to than the, oh man, I wish I did that. And I wish I said it differently. And I wish all these different things were different. but you can't go back and change those things. So why are we ruminating on those types of things? Let's focus on, okay, what were some of the small wins or even big wins, wins that you had, and focus on those. Be like, okay, let's do more of that. And the more of that you do, the more better things will start to come for you. Right.
As the confidence begins to grow, the self-worth begins to grow. Yeah. And back to the mirror, so just like creating a list of your wins and successes, that mirror exercise is a great litmus test too for where you are and how you're feeling emotionally and mentally. If it's very challenging for you to do that for 30 seconds to look yourself in the mirror and give yourself some credit, if that's very challenging for you, then that's just an indicator of how much you need it. So the more difficult that it feels, I've done it at times where I was really challenged with some things or facing some things, and it brought me to tears as I'm trying to, show myself love and give myself that love and that validation. It could bring me to tears. I know other people, their whole body breaks out in a sweat or they have rashes. We need love and connection. We need that validation. First and foremost, we need it with ourselves. And if we've been deprived of it or starved of it for so long, it's going to be challenging. Just like you said, like getting back to the gym after 20 years, it'll be challenging at first. It often is challenging at first to start giving ourselves that credit. But if it's very challenging, then that means, I encourage you that much more to kind of stick through it. Very simple thing, takes 30 seconds, a minute maybe at most, but can be very extremely efficacious and valuable to make some shifts and help you get reconnected with the true value and the worth that you have as an individual.
And we all do have value and worth. And I know sometimes there's people who find it difficult to believe that they have that value or worth, but we do. And, we are the sum of our experiences from all the way from birth, all the way through to today. And some of those experiences, good, some of them bad, but all of those experiences you can learn from.
Right.
And so the more we learn from those things, even the bad things, you said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing, whatever. Okay, fine. Well, what can we take away from this? What can we learn from that so that we don't do that again? And then we have a more positive outcome in the future.
Right.
Look at it as an opportunity as opposed to a failure, right? You have the opportunity to improve that small area of your life. And then the next day when you go and implement that, and it's like, hey, you know what? I learned something, and I did this well, and I achieved that, and I feel like that is another one of those little wins that you can talk about, and you can say in that 30 seconds in the mirror, you can say, you know, I accomplished this today, and that's a good thing. It should make you feel good, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is as that change begins to occur, I think a true sign that somebody has healed or somebody's recovered or somebody's moved beyond is when they can come to gratitude for the bad things that they've experienced in their life. Whether it's a trauma that they experienced, whether it's a divorce that they went through, whether it was an addiction that they struggled with, when they can be grateful for it, then that's when I think the true healing and the growth has occurred, because they've recognized not just the negative from it, but also, you know, the seeds that came from it, the seeds that were planted for some positive gain or some positive benefit. I mean, I think sometimes I joke about, you know, what do we plant seeds in if we want the best harvest, if we want the best crops? We plant seeds in manure, in cow shit. So, right. You know, sometimes when our life feels like manure and our circumstances and situations feels like manure, that's the opportunity for us to something to come out of that, some new skills, some new awareness, some new compassion, some new ability. It doesn't come from the easy times. It doesn't come from when everything's going smoothly. It comes from those challenges. So sometimes we need to face a lot of pain in order to shift us or help us grow in a way that's also commensurate with the amount of pain and suffering that we experience.
Yeah, and there's a saying, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm gonna butcher it a little bit. But like, hard times create hard men, easy times create, you know, soft men, and that right. type of thing. You know, going through hard struggles helps improve you. Going through that shit, it's going to help improve you. And if everything was just rainbows and unicorns all the time, you wouldn't accomplish very much. You wouldn't have that struggle that, looking back, you can be like, you know, I can be proud of that victory, that little victory that I had. I remember my son, you mentioned earlier, riding a bike as one of those little things that you can check off as an accomplishment. But I remember my oldest son, when I was teaching him how to ride a bike, and, you know, the first few times he was wobbly, fell off, and, you know, that type of thing. As soon as he figured it out and he got it, you could have heard him all the way across the neighborhood. He was screaming his lungs. The greatest thing in that moment. He was so proud and he was so happy. Like, the smile on my face was like ear to ear, and I'm not kidding. It was huge. And I was so happy for him to see him screaming his head off with just pure joy and happiness. And I actually mentioned it to him the other day. We were just talking about something, and I said, do you remember when I taught you how to ride a bike? He goes, oh my God, that was great. That was amazing. And so even all these years later, you know, over 10 years later, he still remembers all of that as being such a great thing. And so, you know, look back, you know, at some point he's going to be a, you know, 40, 50 year old guy. And
you better be on his list. Learn how to ride a bike.
It better be on his damn list, for Christ's sake. You know, like put that on your list, because it made you so happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but it was a struggle at first, right? He fell off and he, you know, got a little bit scraped up, nothing too serious, but, you know, he fell a couple times, and but that was a struggle. But if he didn't have that struggle, if it was just easy and he just hopped on the bike and just took off, he wouldn't have all that joy and excitement that went along with it, right?
Yes, those hardest times that help us grow, that, like, to your point, that can be the things that we're most grateful for, most proud of, or give ourselves the greatest credit for. And there's a reason that basic training is so difficult. You know, that it's not supposed to be easy. It's got to be challenging so that you can really grow from it. Some of the challenging workups that we do before a deployment, they're not supposed to be easy. They're not, because we need to grow, we need to strengthen, we need to gain new skills. And that's something I think, you know, it can be very hard and challenging when we're going through a dark time in our life to kind of get connected with the reality that something great can come from it. It can be hard to do that in the moment, because we might be in a survival state. We might really be kind of overwhelmed with the negative emotions and the feelings. But if we can just hold space and just say, all right, I don't know how it's going to get better, I can't see it, but just appreciating that there's the possibility that something great and beautiful is going to come from it, sometimes that can alleviate some of that negative pressure that's keeping us stuck or holding us in that place.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we wrap up the episode here. I want to give you the chance to let people know where they can go to find out more information about Valiant Path, the Warrior Reset, and mention again your TEDx talk, where they can go to check that out. You know, for the listeners to be able to get in touch and find out more information about all that.
Certainly. So you can go to thewarriorreset.com if you want access to that, the free 10-day challenge, and learn some very basic, very simple things that you can do to create a huge fundamental shift in the way that you feel or the way that you're showing up. So thewarriorreset.com. If you want to check out the TEDx talk, it's called The Unspoken Trauma That All Veterans Face. It looks at how that loss of fundamental human needs for connection, authenticity, and meaning itself can be a traumatic chapter or traumatic experience in somebody's life. If you want to check that out, you can go to unspokentrauma.vet. And if you want to learn more about Valiant Path, you can go to valiantpath.vet, and you can see a little bit more information, some of the benefits, and what that kind of process or that program looks like. So if you're feeling like you have a huge challenge that you're facing, you need to overcome it. Maybe you've struggled with addiction in your life and you want to build a better foundation. I understand, and this is something we didn't get to talk about, I understand addiction to be manifest in any substance or behavior that a person craves, finds temporary relief or pleasure in, has a negative consequence because of, and yet has difficulty giving it up. And if anybody's familiar with the work of Dr. Gabor Mate, that's the way he defines addiction. What I really appreciate about this is it tells me, for one, addiction is not something that manifests in just this short arbitrary list of substances or behaviors that we think of it as addiction. Addiction can be any behavior in our life that's creating a negative consequence, and yet we're having a difficult time giving it up. The other thing that I learned is that the real question to ask if we want to understand why we're struggling or why somebody's struggling with the behavior is not why that behavior or why that addiction, but why the pain. So if we can get to the root of that, and then we can really help inspire or spark somebody's growth beyond that place. So if you've struggled with some behaviors in your past, and maybe you've removed that substance or behavior from your life, but you still feel that there's a tremendous void inside, well, that's what the Valiant Path is designed to do, is to help fill that void, build that stronger foundation so you can get to the next level in your life and move beyond the challenges or move beyond the reality that you're experiencing now so you can get to the place that you want to be ultimately in your life. So valiantpath.vet, unspokentrauma.vet, and thewarriorreset.com. And my last message for your listeners is that no matter how you feel right now, you are lovable and acceptable just as you are. You have worth, you have value. And you're deserving, especially as a veteran, you're deserving of living and experiencing the life that you want. And if you're not doing that, if you're not experiencing the way that you want your life to be, there's tools, there's resources, there's friends, there's mentors, there's other veterans out there that can help. So certainly reach out, seek those tools, seek those resources, and get your place to that place that you want to be, that you deserve to be.
Absolutely. Great message, and I think a great place to close on that. I do want to thank you again, Garrett, for taking the time to come on the show. Sharing your background and your information and your approach to dealing with some of these difficulties that pretty much all veterans will end up facing at one point or another. And, you know, some can kind of work through it on their own. Some of them, you know, need that little bit of help to get through it. And I think this is exactly where your program comes in and will help people who kind of need that little help to get through these difficult times. So thank you again for taking the time to join us, sharing your journey and your insights. I really do appreciate it.
Scott, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.